Yeah, we're good.
That's good news.
I have no idea what the hell he's talking about, but
whatever.
Anyway. He plays that off pretty good.
Yeah, he does a good job here. I like his first name. I'm expected?
Yeah,
he doesn't say it that way, but he says it's...
I'm expected.
Yeah. I'm expected?
So watching this movie again, I mean, when the dialogues and the characters kind of click, it clicks really well, you know?
Yeah.
You're actually in there feeling some stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at that animation. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why ILM's, like, the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely make an argument for some other... houses.
Well,
and
I mean,
like, and Weta, I'm certainly
Weta is definitely
Weta is probably the closest competitor to these guys. Actually, if not,
and Weta
more
is,
so because of the fact that they're more. I don't know, but.
How much of that set?
That's why I'm here.
Would be, oh wow, that's like in the air. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe
that's all blue screen right there.
But yeah, that's really all.
This is a. You know, for what it's worth, a pretty gorgeous location.
Yeah, I like her dress.
It's very romantic.
This dress is pretty gorgeous.
Her dress is... Oh.
I mean, you need to be... Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
She works in that dress.
She works it.
Working it like crazy.
Sorry, but I just had to say something.
Yeah, I mean, you know... I have a
more favorite dress, but... You know.
Oh, well, yeah, so do I, but I really like that one. I mean, no, they dressed this woman well. I mean, she...
Well, the idea, I mean, you know, George Lucas said in the commentary, you know, flat out, you know, their intentions were to make Natalie Portman as beautiful as humanly possible,
right.
Which, I mean, isn't
hard.
You
don't have to go
it's
that
not hard
for it.
But,
right.
But those were the intentions. I can appreciate that they acknowledged that was the intention, to make her look as beautiful as... they possibly could.
And it doesn't feel like a stretch.
No,
because
no.
of the character that she plays. I mean, she plays sort of...
It's not shameless.
Sort of like a royal...
It's not shameless either.
So, I mean, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah. See, give him the look and such. Boy, I think he's going to hook up.
The theme.
And...
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this little love scene right here is actually not bad. I mean,
no, it's not.
The dialogue's not that great.
The dialogue,
I like,
because is
it a quick
now,
little
okay.
music? I mean, that's sweet. That's
now
sweet
the little
down,
piece
yeah.
where you know sort of the music knowingly cuts
yeah,
off.
Yep,
yeah.
I mean,
I kind of like that.
I can feel it.
It's a funny little moment
yeah,
because of the
funny.
Fact that you, if you see it in theaters, it's a funny little moment
right.
because
yeah.
of the fact that people giggle, laugh, and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's when I started. I remember hearing cringing, or hearing moaning and like giggling, you know, during the love scenes, and that was like kind of like a.
Well, this was definitely one of the better.
But this is Clone Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty. Sweet.
And it seems I don't know. You don't really see the tubes
right.
that they grow the clones in.
It's not.
Sort of look at it as sort of like an homage to the end of 2001, which.
But the thing is, it's not morbid either. It's
no.
Well, it's not. It's you know. It's.
It's not the Matrix.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's not.
Yes.
It's not as morbid.
Immensely
as the
disturbing.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's you know you're not disturbed by it. It's,
no.
You're actually quite compelled by it.
I mean, you're in awe at the immensity of it.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not completely freaked out like in the
Matrix. Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm.
We keep them here. The Jango Fett subplot, stroke of brilliance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stroke
I mean,
of
Jango
brilliance.
Fett, I mean.
The subplot, not,
yeah.
not the, I mean, just
yeah.
the, I mean, good gosh.
Yeah.
Where do you come up with that stuff?
I mean,
yeah, that's good stuff.
And here's a little. I think this is actually a good the scoring here. This is actually an interesting. Reference to the droid army theme
right.
in the episode one.
Although
like,
you know, I mean, one could make an argument that's like, you know, why are you using the theme for the droid army, which was the Trade Federation army,
right.
the clone army?
Well, I think
it
works.
You could sort of, it works. I really do.
This is painful. This is going to be extremely stupid. I mean, you already know it's bad when people compare this to Sound of Music.
Yeah. They're not far off.
No.
I mean,
it's a shame too. She's not looking bad.
No, no she's.
Oh, jeez. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah. the next few minutes are just going to be us moaning and groaning over all this stuff they have to say.
How do they have delivered these lines?
I have no clue.
There are probably a couple takes.
I really have no clue.
At this.
30 or so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, there are glimpses of it where, if they had just changed some stuff, it wouldn't be that stupid, you know? I mean, what they're talking about is not that bad.
I like what Anakin's saying about how he would think a government should work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, but
it's,
when
it's
you
some
get,
really great foreshadowing.
Talking about the first person she's been with. I mean, that's just
Or her first boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, it's just horrible. Mm-hmm. This year isn't.
Yeah, like I'm saying, like the fireplace scene, I'm probably gonna have to walk out of the room.
Yeah,
I'm just. These are two faces that love the camera, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
I thought this part was super important. I mean, we're just running around in the grass with
Sound
these
of Music.
Ugly.
Specials or
whatever these things are. I mean, what is this? I mean, what is that? I mean, what's happening right now? I mean, what is he like?
I mean, it's just...
That's not the best animation either.
No, not at all.
It's beautifully scored. I have no qualms about the score.
The scoring is fine. But, you know...
But just the kids...
It almost adds to the cheesiness.
Of the scene.
Because the scene's just so cheesy.
It really does. Yeah.
It is. I mean, people are supposed to be puking.
What is this rolling around? What was that? How is that so?
They're young. Thank you. And they're in love.
Yeah.
That's the only excuse. But that doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't. Did that ever happen? Did that ever happen?
I don't know. I mean, rolling around some old movies.
Yeah, it probably happened.
Okay, back to Kamino.
George.
Back to the good stuff.
George.
Jango Fett. And Boba Fett.
And... just the,
it's cool seeing
the
Boba
wonder,
Fett as
a
kid.
Right.
It's really cool.
It's cooler than seeing Anakin Skywalker as a kid, anyway.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, but
even though we just mentioned it. Mm. I won't get into
it. Yeah, this I can't say enough about this subplot though.
Right. Yeah,
the whole idea behind the subplot's actually quite good. Oh. Gosh, don't get me started. It is so, but yeah, this scene is supposed to. I didn't find this scene to be all that tense, but you know it works.
I mean, it's not as intense as the score would have you believe.
Oh yeah, I know that's
really well played.
It's like some really wonderful acting with some, you know, really mediocre dialogue. I mean,
the dialogue here isn't.
Well, it's the thing. It's mediocre.
It's mediocre. Yeah.
It's
light years beyond what we just heard.
Yeah.
But
exactly. Yeah.
There's supposed to be some play between Obi-Wan and Jango, and I'm down. I feel that a little bit.
And you sort of get the idea that he is not a huge fan of the Jedi.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you really get the sense.
Always a pleasure to meet a Jedi.
I mean, you get the idea that Jango knows what's going down.
Right.
And Obi-Wan is two steps ahead of him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that he knows that Obi-Wan knows who he is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it works on that level.
Yeah.
But, you wish it could have worked on another level. But it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I almost don't even really know what it was missing besides better dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, the scoring wasn't bad.
Oh,
no. The scoring was really well done.
The scoring kind of set the mood. I mean, the scoring is really the thing that does set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And which just illustrates how important John Williams' music is to the series. I mean, you know, his...
Oh, no.
This is the table. The table is not that bad.
The table's not bad.
The table's
the dress
bad.
Is great.
Is the scene after this the...
The dress is...
Anyway.
Aggressive. I like this little... I like the little callback that happens later on, the aggressive negotiation callback. I think that was, if Master Obi-Wan ever saw him again, this would be very grumpy. And okay.
Well, yeah, no, I'm cloning a pear.
That was
I mean,
the thing is, you know, he's what I like about he's using his powers to flirt with her, which is interesting. Which, you know, does
this to you, man?
Yeah. Which, you know. If I
and she's reasonably charmed by it.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, let's see a bathroom.
I actually do need to get some drinks.
We're going to...
If you don't hear from us in a while, I'm sure you'll forget us.
This is the dumbest scene in the world. I'm just going to put that on there.
You'll edit this part out. We will not be in here. You like hear the
I'll just mute it.
Yeah. No, you need to get like a sound effect of a toilet flushing.
Oh, I'm sure
right
I can find
it,
one somewhere.
I like hear the Okay, we're back.
Sweet.
Yeah. No, no, we're going to mute ourselves out.
There. Yeah.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to mute ourselves out of the scene. And then at the very end of it, you're going to hear. And then we'll just be like, okay, we're back. Because I'll be.
Gosh,
oh, gosh. Don't give me. Just a beautiful woman. I mean, forget the dress.
I mean, she's starting to grow into a woman.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Legal
is she? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Up with her
I was not. I was,
Yeah, try to hook up.
Oh, God.
I mean, that was a
he's
physical
trying.
Pain.
I mean, give them
pain.
Some credit. Yeah. They're trying.
They are trying.
They're trying. But, man. Oh.
I mean, Lucas... was hearing this. I mean, what was he thinking?
I mean, you know, granted, dialogue is not exactly what built this series.
That's true.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean...
But I mean, it could be mediocre, and it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is just plain bad.
I mean, I'm not even hearing it, but I already know it's bad. He'd be happy to live like that. I mean, come on, he's been living a lie the past 10 years, for crying out loud. But the fact of the matter, I mean, this is part of, I guess, where we're supposed to start to see how his emotions conflict with him being a Jedi and him being on the Force.
Now, this is supposed to be, you know, a slight reference to the film noir detective story.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. You really do get that sense.
Yeah,
I mean, it is kind of film noir. You
talk
know,
to the woman at the door.
Sort of a gun.
It's raining, and then he
walks
away.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just the whole Anakin story in general, not necessarily just the scene.
Right.
But I mean, yeah.
Obi-Wan story.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't seem like, you know, Yoda and Mace have that much to do
right.
No.
In the first half of the movie. which is kind of disappointing, but.
When are we going to see the uses of the Samuel Jackson?
Well, we get a little hint of it. We get a little hint of it at, well, acting. I mean, right. We get some action.
Well, as far as the acting goes,
I don't know.
Just watch Pulp Fiction.
Right, yeah.
Or Jackie Brown. Or a movie with Tarantino.
Or Negotiator.
Movie was really good for
that. I mean, if you're gonna watch this for Samuel Jackson, don't.
Right. Yeah. Grant, when he starts doing his thing in the arena,
mm-hmm.
He's about as badass as they come.
Yeah.
But that will strike down upon me with great vengeance and furious anger. Sorry. That's all right.
One of us had to say it.
I was considering saying it.
Yeah, but I've said it, so.
It's out of the way. It's done.
Yeah, it's
that's the important thing.
Yeah. So what do we think of this this foreshadowing of the fall of the Jedi here?
I like the way it's built. I mean, I really do like the way the stories have been constructed for episode 1 and 2. I really do, or especially episode 2. Episode 1's kind of
now
scattershot.
Right. Okay. Now this scene is probably the most. I mean, as far as romance, as far as love scenes go.
Right.
This is probably the best one.
Yeah,
I mean that's a good image right there.
That's a great.
Yeah.
And she looks. This is my favorite. Oh gosh. Oh god. Oh. Call me Natalie. Call me. Call me.
Of course, we've kind of guaranteed that she's not calling any of
us.
Yeah. After hearing this,
but she looks breathtaking. There. I'm sorry. I mean, this is my favorite hairstyle, outfit.
I mean,
the nightgown, the long curly hair. I mean, that's all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
was there anybody else even remotely considered for this role? I mean,
I don't think
she is such an inspired choice.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you
as
can
far
see
as like you know how
Anakin could fall for her, and you can really see,
and you can see how she could be, you can see how she can be Luke and Leia's mother.
Right.
So I mean, without question.
Mm-hmm.
But
so, I mean, it really is an inspired choice.
But
to choose her,
I
mean, she is truly one of the most beautiful actresses working now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but as far as romance is considered, this is probably in my opinion.
I mean,
the more romantic of all the love scenes.
Yeah.
And he looks very childlike there. I like that. Slave 1.
Yeah.
This is a pretty cool action scene.
Yeah,
it could have been worse. It could have been better.
Yeah, it could have been better. I mean, it's not quite as good as what I was expecting. But I mean,
because like I remember reading about. I mean,
right there is glorious.
I remember reading about the on the internet the fight in the rain and everything and all the anticipation that was built up around it, and there was probably too much.
Yeah,
there was probably too much
like
hype.
Episode 1, there was probably a bit too much
build up around
hype,
you know,
around it.
You know, but
I like this, Boba getting into it.
Yeah,
you know, I remember one of the things a film critic online said they really loved about is he loved the fact that Jango was a father to Boba. You know how he says, "Good job, son."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's
but, that, but that's
like,
just
like,
you know that's
job,
just that
son.
Great little twisted quality
yeah.
to it. That's cool.
It's a good father-son relationship, even though they're evil.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's like he's using the Force to get the lightsaber, but then he's not able to get it.
We have a great view of how you know a Jedi can kind of be defeated by a normal guy.
But it's. I don't think.
Well,
I mean,
Jango's not exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Jango's not exactly normal, but I mean, you know, he's not another Jedi.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Oh no.
Not good.
Yeah. Didn't exactly think that moved through.
Yeah.
But.
Oh no, not good. The English accent just sells it.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen this on DVD. God, this movie looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they shot on digital video, and
this is the first.
I thought it looked spectacular in theaters, but some people didn't.
And the
this is the first digital to digital transfer
and
of
the
a
thought,
major movie in live action. Mm-hmm. Live action major movie. Because, I mean, obviously, with Pixar, there have been others.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, the thought of every movie theater in the world eventually having all digital cameras excites me to no end.
Yeah.
That's just a really great thing to look forward to, I think.
Yep.
But it's going to be a...
It's going to be a while
because it's going to take... I mean, those things are not cheap.
No.
You know, otherwise, we'd have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were only 19 theaters that were equipped with digital projection.
Notice how Boba or Jango bumps his head there. That's a little bit of a reference to. Did you ever notice that? That was they animated him specifically that way to bump his head. It's kind of a reference to either Episode 4 or Episode 6, where one of the stormtroopers is walking underneath the doorway and bumps his head. That was an actual movie mistake and left in the movie unintentionally, and this was more intentional.
Tatooine.
I love
our second view of it. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
is this Mos Eisley? No, this is Mos Espa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They go to Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
Well, they go closer to Mos Eisley, and just more great storytelling technique. It's like we're getting
you sort of get the idea of
where we're going. Yeah. You know where we're going in the story. You know we're getting close. You know, just subtle, more and more subtle references to the original trilogy.
You know, the guy, that guy right there, was that the same guys that we saw playing the football?
I don't know. I think so.
Chet Watto. This is a great moment.
I like how Watto has a beard.
I like how, I just love this moment. I am loving this moment. This moment almost didn't make the final cut, according to the commentary. And, I mean, this just centered the movie for me emotionally, as far as I'm concerned, so. This is great. This is just great acting with CGI. I mean, this is like, I can't say enough about this moment. Watto, my favorite character from Episode 1. You sure scrubbed it, huh? Hey, I know a couple of deadbeats that owe me a lot of money. That's just great, Watto.
There's some, because
you know it's like Watto. You know, Watto's like all good. He's not all good, but he's not all bad either. Right. And you know, he goes from like being proud of what Anakin's accomplished to you know being, hey, I know
saying,
a couple of deadbeats.
You know what?
I know a couple of deadbeats that owe me a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's not all good, but he's not all bad either.
Yeah.
Which is just Owen Lars. Yeah. Well, Klieg Lars, but. Just you know,
we're getting to that.
You get chills.
See some more people from the original trilogy,
which kind of gives you a shot in the arm. You know, after having to sit through all that god awful, you know, romantic crap that you know you finally
which
you get.
We didn't necessarily sit through.
You get a little bit of a shot in the arm and get excited about the story again once you hear like Lars, what? Lars, I'm sorry. Slave 1. You know, getting to see that.
This is a cool scene.
I love
the sound design in this scene.
The seismic charges.
Oh yeah.
Is it seismic charges? I think it's.
I don't remember.
Well,
but
what about
seismic is more earth.
Yeah.
Is it? No, wait, hang on. We're about to hear it.
Size, but so, I mean, maybe because you got rocks around it, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wicked little laugh.
It was a bit cheesy for me, but I didn't quite feel that.
Oh, gee, here it is. Thank you very much.
I love the fact that you hear nothing on the soundtrack before you get to those.
Yeah. Well, I remember Ben Burtt explaining in his commentary that he was attempting to create a audio black hole, if you are, you know, and that's he does
well,
that.
He certainly does that.
Yeah, that was the concept anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sort of a little throwback to the asteroid field.
Oh, it is. I mean,
Empire Strikes Back. Of course, that probably goes without
we'd
saying.
We'd be, yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah, pretty cool moves there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to be a pretty good pilot.
Mm-hmm. And yet he hates flying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was about to mention that's another one of my favorite lines.
Blasted, this is why I hate flying.
Blast, this is why I hate flying. You get to see Slave One, with in some action.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
We're right there with. It's not necessarily the most thrilling set piece in the history of a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm. But it's the only space sequence.
It's the only one we've seen up until now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure in Episode 3 we'll see probably one. I would imagine we'd
I would love to see a great end action set, space set piece at the end of Episode 3, but, you know, that...
I don't know what we're going to get. And see, that's one of the things that... Well, we've got some parakeets in with us, so that's what all this extra noise is.
yeah. All we have to do now is finish them off.
Great visual effects happening here.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I mean, saying Star Wars movie has great visual effects is, like, kind of redundant.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah. I mean, it just goes from, like, extremely good to just over-the-top excellent.
Yeah.
This is a pretty sweet move here.
Yeah.
By Obi.
Pretty smart move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing there just didn't work for me either. I mean, I'm down, but I mean, come on.
That's a great piece of scoring right there when we reveal Obi-Wan's. And
then
he's been sneaky.
Brief moment, and sort of not necessarily an introduction of Geonosis, but.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's sort of.
I've been kind of disappointed
sort of
with the way.
It's like an homage to the moon landing in 2001, but anyway. The landing pad in 2001, but
and
here we go.
Wondering if the A fighter came from that side.
Well, I think that's I think this is just a new concept, Jedi starfighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just a new design, and I think it works.
Yeah,
you believe that they have their own fleet of starfighters,
mm-hmm.
which it's a brand new concept. It's nothing that was like subtly built up to, but
But I mean, it stays true to the
order
design,
the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it?
And
okay,
this stuff, this, I love this stuff.
This is the first time we have seen
the large homestead.
Homestead since Episode 4. Exact same location, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they shot the exact same location they did the original.
That's pretty sweet.
And my favorite character.
C-3PO's
my favorite character.
Completed.
Yep.
Although one could argue how well he's used later on.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, well, yeah.
Anthony Daniels.
He's got some pretty good lines too.
Yeah.
Good writing, I have to say.
I like how he avoids the I like how he avoids, he just changes it. He's like, you better come with me. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really great C-3PO character stuff.
I don't know if I can necessarily see those two as Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru later on, but I don't know. No, she's not. Is he already? Is it taking him this long to realize that something's not quite right? I mean, come on. He's a Jedi, for crying out loud. He's supposed to sense these things. Of course, he's kind of already has. Dreams and stuff. But,
blue milk?
Yeah.
A little blue milk there. Actually, I think the blue milk's later.
That looks more like iced tea.
Yeah, I guess.
But
I like this story and this setup right here.
Yeah,
this
is just a fantastic outfit. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm not you know, paying attention to that. I'm actually quite compelled by this aspect of the story.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, she took off the vest.
We're gonna, but I have a favorite tummy moment coming up later. But this is great story right here.
This is very good. I mean, the subplots
I cannot say enough about.
We cannot say enough about the subplots. We sort of get idea of, you know, everything starting to tie together. We're starting to see the reason why he had the dreams about his mother. And I mean,
but I mean, this is just, I mean, the primary story in episode two is the love story.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I do not care about that as much as I care about, you know, what happens to Anakin's mother. I don't care about that as much as I care about what happens with the clone army. You know, because the subplots are just. This is great right here. This is probably the most romantic moment here in the movie. I think.
I really love the use of the shadows as
You know what? The Force theme works better as backscoring to a love scene.
Well, yeah, love scene with a bit of despair in there.
Well, I mean, it sort of like goes back to. I mean, we're hearing it more or less how it was that great scene and great iconic moment in episode four, where he's looking out into the suns, and now you have Duel of the Fates,
which is placed very well.
I mean. I was excited to hear it because of the fact that I thought it was going to be a really pivotal theme, and I hope it still is in episode three, but it's not used too much in this one.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's really used well.
That's a great.
When he uses it. I mean, there's one other place where you get a hint of it that is just absolutely brilliant. It's good stuff. But,
now, the concept for the Geonosian. You know, they're buildings. You know, they're supposed to. They're termites.
Right.
Yeah.
They're insects. I mean, and their buildings look like they were put. You know, they were constructed by and for insects.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, that they pulled that off. I just did not find this planet that interesting.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the concept is actually rather good, but
I mean.
You know, it's a neat concept, but, you know,
it's designed is just beautiful as any other one.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I think you probably just need some place with where
you need some place
to start the clone war. Clone war.
Yeah.
It is a cool idea, like you said. I mean, you know, takes you to a new world and all that stuff. And I mean, you know, who wants to go, you know, I mean, who necessarily wants to go to, like,
yeah.
Some place we've already seen.
Exactly.
I mean, show us something new for crying out loud.
Exactly. He's doing that. He's pulling it off.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee. As Count Dooku.
The great.
Casting of Lee. The century. Well, I mean, there's arguments
there. There's a lot of arguments.
But that's definitely casting.
One of the most inspired casting decisions on part of George Lucas.
I guess I was going a little far there, but...
You know, obviously, is a huge fan of the Hammer horror films that Christopher Lee was
as was Peter Jackson,
Peter Cushing actually, who was in the first Star Wars, also a Hammer horror veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, oh my gosh, what a villain! I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna, I mean,
and I like the fact that we're not quite sure. And one of the things that was mentioned about the story is you like the duality. You like the fact that between the characters of Palpatine / the Emperor and Count Dooku and Sifo Dyas, you know, you're not quite sure where they're going with those yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of the seeds have been laid, you know, planted, but you're not quite sure how they're going to transpire, what we're going to learn in episode three.
Right.
There's enough of it that's left to the imagination at the end of this to where, you know, you really can't wait for episode 3.
One of the few reasons you can you can't wait until episode 3. We're not going to go into that.
We're not going to go there.
This is
a decent lead. I mean, I like the sequence.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think
it could have been bad, but I think it's
no. This
decent.
I mean, the thing,
reason for what it is.
The thing is, you know,
the,
I think
the scene, the part
you know,
that makes this work is the reunion between Anakin and his
right,
mother.
Right.
And but the thing is, you can tell that George Lucas thrives, and just really, you know, thrives with the darker aspects of his story.
Yeah,
I think that's something he just really seems to thrive at.
And
you know?
Somebody mentioned that this was sort of like a callback to John Ford's The Searchers, which has John Wayne looking for his niece. Sorry, but sort of similar plot line as Anakin finding his mother, but.
I was rather moved by this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very well played and
very well scored.
Very well scored.
Very well
scored. Has some of my favorite music from episode 1 in it.
And
I really love the music from when Anakin and his mother have to say goodbye at the end in
episode 1,
and I'm glad he brought that back because I absolutely love
it. It's just
some of my favorite music that
and
came
makes,
out of
and it makes
one,
the scene absolutely heartbreaking to watch. And they're like, look at this wonderfully sweet woman.
Played by
Pernilla August.
Pernilla August, who's a veteran of Ingmar Bergman's films.
And the fact that she can't say, the fact that she can't get out that she loves him, it's just, and that you believe it when this sends him over the edge. You believe it. Full-heartedly.
Well, I mean, this is the trigger. I mean, you know, we don't see him go over.
This is the gun cocking,
I mean,
the
hammer's been pulled back at this moment.
It's about to blow.
Yeah.
It's about to discharge. It's about to.
This is basically.
Oh gosh! Listen to that music.
Oh, the music really makes it.
And look at this eye acting right here. This is scary. This is scary.
I mean, I don't know. You can make an argument that he's perhaps trying a bit too hard.
Right.
I don't know that.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
That's some good stuff right there. That's sweet.
That's
we're
skirting the edge of PG-13.
Rage. Right. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
That's some foreshadowing, I believe, to episode 3, hearing Liam Neeson there. Because, I mean, Liam Neeson has, in fact, been signed for episode 3, so I'm guessing...
I didn't hear that.
So, he has, in fact...
I mean, obviously, I kind of figured there was a chance he'd be in episode 3.
Read your internet spoilers, Brian. That's all I have to say.
I try to avoid those until, like, 3 weeks before release. Thank you very much. Although, I did hear Peter Mayhew...
Peter Mayhew has been...
Chewbacca's coming back.
Has been signed. This
so
is
Chewie fits in somehow.
This is a more interesting scene, I think, than earlier when we just saw these guys. Just you know, but you know, it just goes to show that like
it's
George
really
Lucas
well scored too.
It is.
I really like
it.
The
is
way
the
really
you know you hear the Imperial March there a little bit hint of that, and it's just. But this is all exposition right here, and I mean it's. And that's all it is, basically. It's nothing more than exposition.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't really any foreshadowing here.
Yeah.
There isn't any.
I mean, this is just.
I mean. You know, there are just so many scenes in this movie that just, you know, they're the only reason they're there is because they have to be.
Yeah.
And you know, you just and the thing is, I mean, it's just one of the more disappointing aspects of it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of difficult to tell the story with that.
I mean, it's not that I'm bored.
Yeah, I mean, right.
It's not that I'm bored by them. It's just, you know,
you wish they weren't necessary.
Right.
What in blazes is he doing that?
He's in trouble.
Yep.
I love this image right here. Yeah. This is just a really neat R2 moment.
Right. R2 the man.
Yeah.
R2 the man, the myth. That's just cool. Look at that. I mean, you know, Brian, who's the cinematographer?
David Tattersall.
You know, and
I believe that's his first name. I know it's Tattersall. And the only other thing, I mean, he did episode one.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, you know,
he did Con Airs, which
he knows how to set up an image.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, beautiful composition,
wonderful,
shots,
wonderful imagery.
I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
Great storytelling imagery.
I mean, I can't say enough about the cinematography. Cinematography is fantastic. Mm-hmm.
But now here is this.
Yeah, I like how he doesn't even talk to anybody.
He doesn't. I mean, he's just.
You don't have to.
He's just. Yeah, you feel that moment more than. There's the blue mill.
This. Yeah.
There's the blue mill.
Now this is a great Anakin moment.
This is. This is a good scene. You know, because
you really
because it's not romantic.
Sort of going over the deep end.
Yeah. And it's not romantic, thank God.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, he's not. I mean, he's not quoting love songs.
And I like. Yeah, and I like that she doesn't really know how to react. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really try. I mean, she tries to comfort him, but you sort of get the feeling that she knows that whatever she does is going to be kind of futile.
Mm-hmm.
And she's shocked by what he says.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know, she's digging him nonetheless.
Right, right. She wants to hook up. So yeah. Like, that's all cool. She killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, though, it's like, I mean, the love story, in this scene at least,
it takes
a backseat.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, you still are not quite sure whether she's...
Right.
She gets the feeling that it's like, I don't know.
And you know... I mean, we can talk about it later, but you know, I mean, you're kind of not feeling the whole love thing. Maybe not feeling, but you just don't know if it's gonna work. And then when it just kind of just pops out, okay, here we are, let's hook up.
And the thing is,
it just happens. You know,
I believe that this is the moment she realizes that she loves him because he is completely naked to her now.
Right.
He's not, you know, I believe that this is the moment where
he's not being the cocky little prick that he's been,
and he's not, and he's not quoting love sonnets, and he's not,
I mean,
you know,
he's not trying to woo her. I mean,
no,
basically,
he's shedding every bit of his, you know.
I guess
I can see that.
I guess for me, in this scene, there was just a little bit too much anger for me to feel any sort of love thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really thinking about the love story in this movie. I mean, it's all about his.
Anger.
Rage, and